If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me in the Old Testament to Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm. And this is the last time I was preaching, we looked at sort of an introduction to this. Over the next few weeks or months, whenever I'm going to preach, we'll be coming back again to this passage. Yes, the children. I'm sorry, I should have dismissed the children for their preparation for worship time. And we're going to read this as we did last time. We're going to read it together. We're going to read it from the ESV, which is the Pew Bible. So if you're using the ESV, fine. If you're not, grab one of those Pew Bibles and look it up. And even though I'm just going to be speaking on the first few verses of it today, every time we're together like this, I want us to stand together and recite this together, because this is one of those psalms that you, it's such a blessing to have it when you need it. And so maybe by going over and over, we'll learn it all together. So let's say this together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, Lord, every time we read this, it amazes us, Lord, how sweet and how precious are the promises that you are our good shepherd, always with us. And Lord Jesus, when you came, you called yourself the good shepherd, how sweet, coming to seek and to save those who are lost. Lord, I pray that as we look at these just few verses this morning, that your grace would be upon us. I pray, Lord, that you would take control of my heart, my mind, my mouth. I'm a sinner up here too. The foolishness of preaching, Lord, I pray that you would glorify yourself through it. And I pray, Lord, that this would be a balm to anyone here, Lord, who is still searching for you. And a balm to those of us who know you, but are maybe just going through a time that's hard right now. So we pray for your blessing, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You be seated. I keep looking down here because I have a book that I use for communion in a little bit that I think Julie must have. So I'll come get it when I need to. First things first. Not all organized today. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. As our shepherd, we're being told here that God is one who provides for us. He guides us in life, and he brings us to rest. Now, David knew about sheep because he was himself a shepherd. Remember some of the earliest stories about David? We learned that about him. Remember when Samuel was led by God to go to the home of Jesse to anoint Israel's next king. Even though Saul was still alive, God had rejected him. And so Samuel didn't know who he was going to anoint. But the Spirit, God had said, don't look on the outward appearance. God looks upon the heart. And so remember, Samuel goes, and Jesse has seven of his sons pass before Samuel. David wasn't there. David didn't even rate an interview because, Samuel said, "Is all the sons you've got, do you have one more?" And Jesse said, "Oh, yeah, there's one more, but he's out keeping sheep. He's a shepherd." Shepherds were the lowest on the totem pole. It was low and lonely business. David knew that at times it could be dangerous business. When David went out to fight Goliath, Saul told David, he said, "You're not able to go out and fight this Philistine." Do you remember what David said in reply? He said, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. I'm a shepherd. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed it." Now that's tough. That's a tough job right there. Why, it's not easy to be a shepherd. It requires constant watchfulness. If you're a shepherd, on the one hand, you're kind of looking out for a place, safe place for your sheep to graze. But at the same time, you're looking over your other shoulder, watching to see if there's any danger that might come in and disrupt the order and the safety of your flock. David knew about shepherding, and he knew about sheep. The word sheep, by the way, is found 200 times in the Bible. That's a lot. 155 times in the Old Testament and 45 times in the New. And many of those references, God's people are being referred to as sheep. Psalm 78:52, for example, "God brought his people out like a flock. He led them like sheep through the wilderness." Psalm 103, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his people. We are his, the sheep of his pasture." And here David is saying the same. "The Lord is my shepherd." So the Bible refers to us as sheep. You know, he said this the last time that we were together. It's really not the greatest compliment in the world that the Bible refers to us as sheep. Because the more you learn about sheep, the more you start to see yourself in them, maybe not your best self in them. Sheep they're dirty little creatures. And they can be rather dumb. Isaiah 53:7, "Like sheep before her shearers is dumb." Sheep, they're also by nature kind of nervous creatures, easily restless. They can wander off. They can also just bolt if there's any perception of danger. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way." You can see how the scriptures making us see how we're like that ourselves. Isaiah 53:6. David knew what it was to keep sheep. He knew what it was to be a sheep himself. You think about all the early experiences of David's life. When he was being pursued by Saul, when he was at one time being pursued by Absalom, David knew hunger. David knew fear. David wandered himself into sin. He wandered off bad. He knew what it was to be pursued by an adversary. He knew thirst. He knew what it was to be anxious. We wouldn't have half the Psalms because so many of them, David is in trouble and crying out to God. And he knew where to turn in time of need. "The Lord is my shepherd," he says, "I shall not want." One author notes that there are three things that make sheep especially anxious. One is when they're hungry. They like to eat. Two, they become anxious when they can't see the shepherd, if they're looking for him. And then thirdly, they become anxious. Let's see, I just lost my point here. Oh, They become anxious when they have a sense of dread or perceived danger that they can't shake. I mean, when you look at these things and kind of how sheep respond, I get this. And you get this too. What are you anxious about this morning sitting here? What worries or anxiety has you feeling a little restless? What fear or maybe perceived danger in your life can you not shake? What sense of dread do you have this morning? Y'all haven't known me a long time, but there are a few here that know this, certainly in my family. But some, and Paul knows this, that I have in my life struggled in the past with panic attacks. I don't know if you ever had a panic attack. I'd never had a panic attack in my life until about happened decades ago. It actually started about the time that I came out of seminary. You know, and then when I started getting behind pulpits and preaching and having to speak in public, there would be sometimes that I would just have panic attacks even on a Sunday morning. You know, sometimes we think it's real easy to stand, you know, back here behind this pulpit, but it's not. And yet I stand here as a testimony of God's grace that He is able to take my weakness and help me work through these things. And at times through them and despite them. But the thing about panic attacks is that they only get their power from fear. They get their power from a sense of perceived danger, even though it may be completely unjustified and not real. We all understand this. Mark Twain, I love some of Mark Twain's quotes. Mark Twain once said, "I've suffered through many catastrophes in my life, most of them which have never happened." And that's so me. And maybe that's so you. Fear and anxiety, it begs the question, what if? What if this or what if that? What if my money runs out? What if my health fails? What if I lose my career? What if I'm left alone in life? What if? David had many reasons to ask what if in his life. What if Saul actually catches me in the desert? What if I lose my kingdom to my son Absalom? What if? Think about after he sinned with Bathsheba. What if God is so angry at this mess with Bathsheba and her husband that he stops listening to me? That what if? There are lots of reasons. David had good cause for panic attacks, and I think he had some of them, which is why we have the Psalms. And some of his trouble was of his own making. And yet, and this is the testimony of the Psalms, David chose to answer fear with faith. Instead of asking what if, David, and this is one of the things I love about him, he would declare, "I know." When David, for example, when he stood before Goliath, he said, "I know the Lord will deliver this Philistine into my hands." When he was running from Saul, and he was at times afraid, he declared, "I know God is my fortress, and He will go before me." Fear asks, "What if?" Faith declares, "I know." "I know" is all over this psalm. "I know the Lord is with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want," is how it starts out. By the way, this is not an assurance. Some have taken this passage and kind of preach a health and wealth sort of gospel from it. That this is a promise that I'll never want for anything. That's not what is being said here. It's not an assurance that God will grant our every wish, but rather that He will supply our every need. Fear asks, and anxiety asks, "What if I don't get this?" or "What if I don't get that?" But faith responds, "I know that whatever God gives me or whatever He withholds from me is going to be good. I will trust in Him to decide when and what to provide. I have everything I desire when I look to him. Matthew Henry, the Puritan pastor, I love his commentaries on this verse, and he says this. He said, I shall be supplied with whatever I need. And if I have not everything that I desire, I may conclude that it's either not fit for me, not good for me, or I shall have it in due time. I like that. Some of you may be sitting here this morning. You're asking God for something. And it seems that of late, he has become very silent. You prayed for one thing, and you've gotten another. You prayed, you asked for a yes, and you got a no in return. Fear and anxiety tempts you at that point to start becoming suspicious of God, so that you start thinking things like, I've made God angry, and therefore he's not listening to my prayer anymore. They've failed somehow in my life, and so he is choosing not to provide for me exactly what I want. We actually think, it's crazy when we think this way, because we doubt as Christians, and we think this way, which is crazy, because he who spared not his own son for us, how will he not also freely give us all things? And yet we doubt that he's going to do that over and over again, which is crazy. As I mentioned, my daughter Katie is here with me. When I think about this, I think about, and my being suspicious of God, I think about how I raised my own children. And you think about how you deal with your own family members. And Katie's here so she can testify to this. In all the years when they were living with us growing up, my children never came to me and asked me if I was going to stop feeding them. They never asked me that question. If they had disobeyed me at some point, they never came and said, well, Dad, does this mean you're going to stop paying the mortgage payment so we have nowhere to live? You know? And even when I did have to correct them or discipline them or say no to them, they never had a panic attack wondering, is he going to stop saving for my college now? You know? They didn't think in those terms. Think of how you deal with your own children. And yet, if we're honest, this is how we think about God. We're suspicious of him. We know the scripture says he'll provide. We just think he's not going to do it. So if you're anxious and fearful today, that perhaps you become suspicious of God. And listen, that's exactly the way Satan wants us to think. In faith, though, faith declares the Lord is my shepherd. I know he's going to provide for me all that I need, maybe not everything I want, not exactly when I want it. Whatever he withholds from me and that I think I need, he has a reason, because he is my loving father and I trust him to only give me what is best. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But secondly, notice David prays in faith. He's not wanting for guidance. I shall not want for guidance. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. In my studies, you get to read about characteristics of sheep. And I read that it's next to impossible to make a sheep lie down. They'll only lie down under certain circumstances. It's impossible for them to make them lie down if they're well fed, if again they're free from that sense of perceived danger, or they're free from being bothered by each other. Which kind of helps me understand what David says here. He makes me to lie down. What David is saying is, I'm comfortable with my shepherd. I'm surrounded. He leads me to green pastures. I'm surrounded by his blessing. I'm hungry. He will feed me. There's abundance of provision. He is with me. I am safe. I just got back from Florida. I had to go down to Pensacola this week for a funeral. I may tell you more about that next week. But I stayed with my mother, and I was reminded again that they've been in that house for over 50 years, I bet. And whenever I go to that house, I sleep well. My mother used to say the gravity's heavy in this house, you know, because everybody just want to take a nap when you're there. But my father passed away last year, but and especially when he was alive and I would go there to stay there, even though I was grown up and I had my own family and I had my own children, when I would go to their house, I just slept well. And I realized it's because my father's there. I mean, I didn't worry about things. I didn't have to worry about what I was going to eat. My mother would provide wonderful food in the morning. I wasn't the only protector around. And so, you know, I didn't have that pressure of providing and protecting my own family. My mother and my father, they made circumstances such that I could rest and sleep. Does that make sense to you? I mean, what if you could develop that mindset about your heavenly Father? Though you're alone, you know he's standing watch over you. No one can bother you or seek to do you harm. Nothing can come into your life unless he allows it. And even then, because he knows it's for your good. What if you could actually believe that? We sleep better when the alarm is on. Have you noticed? What if by faith we could sleep when it's not on and rest in our good shepherd's care? He leads me beside still waters, David says. This is interesting. A shepherd knows not to take his sheep near a raging river. Sheep are nervous creatures, and they become very unsettled by moving water. Like, I didn't know this. A sheep can swim. They can swim. They just can't swim very well. And, you know, as they get big and their wool starts to puff out when they get in the water, their wool is like a sponge. And it can kind of weigh them down. And so when moving water starts to move around, they become very unsettled. So it's interesting how David says this. He leads me by still waters, places where I'm not going to panic. He leads me. Sheep don't have an internal GPS. That's why they wander off so easily. They're instinctive creatures. And sometimes, even though there may be no danger around whatsoever, one sheep takes off for whatever reasons, the rest of them will take off too. They'll bolt. But when the shepherd is there, they're at peace. At night, the shepherd's presence keeps them calm. By day, the shepherd leads his sheep to safe places. I hope that's an encouragement. Some of you may be praying today for guidance. You have a big decision that you have to make, a looming choice, and you're indecisive because you're afraid. I'm going to make the wrong decision. See, you think yourself able to walk outside of the shepherd's watch and care. So life is always restless and anxiety filled for you. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." By that, I don't want for protection, for provision, for leading. Remember, fear asks what if. Faith says, I know the Lord is with me. And so then finally, he says, I shall not want for rest. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul. You know, the greatest fear and anxiety that we face in life results really from not knowing where we stand with God. It's the ultimate anxiety. When David sinned, for example, remember, and David sinned big with Bathsheba. I mean, he had times of doubt in his life, times where he lacked faith. There were the big sins of adultery and murder. taking matters into his own hands. And all of these things, they began to take a toll on him physically and emotionally and spiritually. In Psalm 32, David said, "When I kept silent about my sins, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the fever heat of summer. And then I acknowledged my sin to you. I didn't cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." No one can find true rest in this life unless you're, for one, at rest with yourself. But no one can be at rest with themselves unless they are at rest with God. And only God can restore the soul and bring peace, which is why I love the gospel so much. We started the service out. God loves you. His steadfast love is upon you. And he loved you so much that he demonstrated it by sending his own son into the world to die on the cross for sinners like David and like you and like me. That's why it's so beautiful that in the New Testament, Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd. The good shepherd who has come to seek and to save that which was lost. All this, by the way, was foretold in the prophets. Ezekiel 34, God promised this people, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down," declares the sovereign Lord. And that's exactly what was accomplished that day when Jesus died on the cross. He was fulfilling the prophecy here of Ezekiel 34 when it mentions that day of clouds in darkness. That was the day upon which Jesus laid down, our shepherd laid down his life for his very sheep. So that through him, your sin and my sin, your mess and my mess, might be completely covered, forgiven, and remembered no more. Fear, ask what if. Faith responds, I know. I know that my shepherd loves me. I know that he owns me. I know that I am valuable to him because he has purchased me with his own blood. I can rest well in his house. I know that he will lead me. I know that he will provide for me. I know that he will protect me. And I know all of this because I am his, the Lord, and he is mine. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So stop being suspicious of God. Resist those thoughts from the evil one. And God will take you and take all of your fear and anxiety, and he can make you lie down too, again, in green pastures. Trust him. Trust him to lead you beside still waters and approach boldly the throne of grace, knowing that he's always there to hear, forgive, restore your soul. This is what it means to be a sheep. And this is what it means to have a good shepherd. Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we confess to you, Lord, that we are suspicious at times of you. Lord, when times happen in our lives that we can't explain, when we're filled with anxiety and fear and doubt, Lord God, it is easy for us to believe the lies of the evil one that you have somehow lost sight of us. How that is not ever, ever true. You are our good and great shepherd. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today that has not fully submitted their life to you, that they have not come in faith and repentance to come under the care of the good shepherd, Lord God, that they would see Jesus on the cross for them, that they would see their sins forgiven too, Lord God, that they can see their life as a sheep in need of your presence each and every moment. And Lord, I ask that you would open up these mysteries to them. Father, just take the simplicity of all of this, apply it to our lives today, and bring comfort to your sheep everywhere. We ask in your name. Amen.